This is Defining New Media Marketing, the podcast. Your brief for insights, tips, and the future of new media marketing. Let's get started. Well, welcome to another show here at Defining New Media. It's part two of the future of content. If you did not catch part one, definitely listen to part one, where we covered just the rate of information. We talked about what is media and why we have to rethink media and how media and content engages and what that really means. In this episode, we'll talk about publishing, why content is not king, and curation. I am Scott Scanlon from Ubrand Inc., and you're listening to Defining New Media, your first and last stop for new media news. You can reach me at scott@ubrandinc.com or on Twitter. That's twitter.com/scottscanlon. And if you have not subscribed, I highly suggest that you subscribe. You'll see a little subscription button there at Defining New Media. So, well, let's jump right in. Well, actually, let's do a little quick recap. We talked about the speed of information and how it's increasing, and everybody knows this. This has been documented in a lot of books. You know it yourself, right? Talked about how the definition of media has to change, or at least I believe we have to rethink what media is and rethink not defining media as a set of conglomerate media companies, but media as a interaction point or really the middle layer of communication. Really got that from the book Cognitive Surplus. Then we talked about how content engages. You know, what is content? A blog post, a quick video, a picture, an upvote, a downvote on a review? What is content? Well, you know, you've heard that content is king. If you've really looked out there in content marketing, it's been said that content is king. Well, it's not king. And the reason why it's not king is because content is not scarce. Content used to be scarce. It used to be that there would be one movie reviewer in your city or a couple movie reviewers in your city. Or television stations only had a certain number of shows, or everything was professionally produced. But as we change this definition of media to what it really should be, we also realize that we're creating media at such a substantial rate that content, really the main driving force of engagement today, is not scarce. When anybody can create content, when your telephone creates content, when every device, new device that you're buying, almost down to a toaster, is creating content, content is not scarce. And that's really what we're moving to. We're moving to a world of instant publishing. Media is made and consumed almost everywhere. Media is made and consumed on your cell phone. Tablets, which have finally come of age, in my opinion, is going to bring a whole level of consumption and publishing to you and me, and to your customers. It's consumed on computers, on laptops. That was really the big change, is that computers, you know, they allowed publishing by you and me. No longer were we sitting behind a television, just sitting there. We had the ability to interact and to create our own content. Every new camera I've seen lately has the ability to at least connect Wi-Fi or connect directly to YouTube. What will it mean in a world of content and media when everything is in the cloud, I should say, and you create a video on your Kodak ZI-8, for instance, probably ZI-10, and it asks you right away if you'd like to upload that right away to YouTube. And you don't have to be at a Wi-Fi hotspot, right? Let's just it's inherent into the connectivity of what you live in. That's coming quicker than all of us realize. 5 years, I really think 5 years, 5 and 10 years, at the speed of this, the speed that technology is moving, that's, it's really hard to say that the way we interact and the way we create media will not be instantaneous, will not happen without a second thought. For instance, if you were around when long distance was a big deal, right? You made a big deal about making a long distance phone call because you're charged more. It was a big deal. Now, there's kids now that have phones that never remember a time when it was a big deal to make a long distance phone call. And how this barrier works, I mean, look, long distance phone calls didn't, it's not like they just broke down within a continent. They broke down across the world. And it's really coming down to what we are looking at right now. And I want to bring this back to content. You know, this whole concept of, is content king? And we're covering it in depth because in some form or fashion, content is king if it's great content and it's really focused on a target market and they can get value from it. But as you've probably found, as other people that have gone out there and marketed using the content strategy, what you'll end up running into is there's always someone out in the marketplace that's willing to give this information for free because their revenue source derives from something else. A good example of this is the training industry. The training industry used to really be able to capitalize on this, these training sets, these philosophies, with the breakdown of really the deliverability of content, of video. It allowed a trainer that would have had to spend, and this is someone within an HR firm or in another firm, that would have had to spend a substantial amount of money to differentiate themselves or to make a point. Now they can go to YouTube and that content is freely available. And the content's freely available because the people that have put it up there are monetizing it in a different form than they used to. And this is why it's not only important to understand a new definition of media, but a new definition of content, and to understand what is the value of content. Because not only has the internet, has the publishing ability, has this communication ability disrupted the music industry, Hollywood, the training industry, real estate industry, right? We go down the industries that this connected technology of content has disrupted. I mean, it's disrupted a lot of industries. And there is not an industry that it won't touch, and there's not an industry as we move forward that it won't continue to transform. So when we talk about content, we talk about what is content before we move on to curation, right? The main points to take from this first part is that, number one, we need to rethink the definition of media and what we consider media. And it's not because it will help you be a better marketer. It's because the way your customer, your consumer interacts with content and media is different. I guess I could put it like this too. There's one resource that I know all of us cannot get back, at least yet. and that's time. As far as I know, there's 24 hours in a day, right? No one has figured out how to make more time. Given that there's only 24 hours in a day, and given that people like to communicate, to engage, to entertain themselves, right? They're making decisions on where they're spending their time. And they're spending their time with content. The key is they don't make the distinction of whether or not that content is professionally produced or whether or not it's produced amongst their friends. They don't make the distinction whether or not that content is leading to a marketing message or whether or not it's just there for them to consume. And not just consume, but to interact with, to rework. We mentioned the YouTube, where you go to YouTube. The YouTube. We mentioned YouTube. Well, you go to YouTube and you can not only respond to a video, you can watch the video, you can rate the video, you can rate a comment. The main point there is that you can, a person, an individual, can spend time. It might be a fleeting second. It might be 10 minutes with media or creating media. And I believe that this is a remembered experience. You remember if you rated something on YouTube. I don't know if you remember it in 2 years, maybe. But you still remember that act. It's an important point. So let's cover curation now. Curation is a content strategy you will be hearing a lot about. It's been bubbling up for the last couple years, but you're going to hear a lot more about it. It's going to be a strategy that a lot of people will pursue. It's a smart strategy. But let's first talk about why curation. Okay, curation basically is you take the relevant stuff for an audience and you, the curator, show what's relevant. In a way, this podcast is a curation of new media. What I do is I go through 30 to 50 different newsletters a day. I look for trends. I look for interesting things. And I typically talk about them and bring them to you. Discuss them. But I'm curating the best stuff I see in new media marketing. Now, if we take a step back, there's two aspects of this. Number one, there's aggregation and curation. We've been living through an aggregation economy, and we will continue to live through this aggregation economy. And a good way to look at aggregation is it's really machine-driven, right? It aggregates content, but it just brings stuff together. That's all it does. You can look at this as in any information gathering out there where it's just going out there and just saying, hey, this is part of, let's say you have an iPhone aggregator. This is just all the information we can find around the iPhone. I'll give you, there's conversation now around search engines. For instance, Google. Google is a aggregated search engine. It's machine driven. Now I know it's oversimplified, but you compare it to a new search engine that's been out there in the news a lot that we've talked about, and that's Blekko, Blekko. That's really a search engine that is aggregated but also curated by the humans, by the searchers. So that's a big distinction. And we're moving into what a lot of people believe is a curation society, where it's absolutely necessary that we move into a curation society. because just the vast amount of information out there deems it necessary. Now, I should also say, too, that there is opportunity. That's where a lot of people see opportunities. If you can be seen as the curator of your field, of your industry, and you really don't have to create anything. You could just be a curator. In a way, not in a way, the Drudge Report is the ultimate curator out there. Really, how often does the Drudge Report, does Matt Drudge, create content? Every now and then, he used to break a story. I don't know when the last time he broke a story. Now, he can make a story, but it's typically curated. It's typically from another source. In fact, he can make a story, something that's not even on the radar of our digital landscape. If it's on the front page of the Drudge Report, there's high potential it will be talked about in the next couple days. If it's the top story, I virtually guarantee it. So, you know, that's an important point, because when we look at aggregators, you know, that's machine-driven. They aggregate content. A curator, typically, the way to look at that is it's human, right? A curator, when you're talking about curation, it's about creating relevance for an audience. It's also kind of seen through a expert's lens. You know, there's this conversation or this phrase out there called credible mass, right? We talk about the aggregation economy. There's the critical mass, which is just the big mass of information around one subject. But then there's also the credible mass. So, for instance, if there's a picture out there, and what is more relevant? A million opinions by the masses, or 1,000 expert opinions by expert photographers? That's really the difference. You've got the critical mass, just the mass of people. But then you have the credible mass. Now, there's this argument right now that's going on, and why this is important. The important distinction is that it used to be that the credible mass mattered more. I still think it does matter, because there's in the expert opinion, the expert eye, there's authority there, and there is worth. For someone to become an expert in something, it takes time. Takes experience. So the credible mass is valuable. And that's the side of the curation when we talk about it. We're talking about the curator. The curation side of content is seen through that expert's lens. It also is an opportunity for you to identify what is important in your industry and be the market leader in that. A lot of the curation strategies right now that are being talked about is that, how do we do that? How do we become that one source for photographers around the world? We sell cameras. How do we build that infrastructure where we really are facilitating the experts and we're curating the best of the best so that people look to us? Now, this isn't nothing new, except for it's now become more of a marketing strategy, given the tools, given the social nature of digital marketing. And these two things, this aggregation and curation, are two things that are important to understand as you go out there and create a content strategy. A great example we're going to give later in probably tomorrow's episode is how the best way to go out there and do a content strategy is really a curator, creating your own unique content, and then crowdsourcing content. So we're going to talk about that strategy. We're going to give some great examples tomorrow. But look, that's all for today. We went about 20 minutes. It's a little bit longer than yesterday's show. If it wasn't clear on anything whatsoever, you can send me an email. I'd be happy to answer it or clarify anything. I did get a couple emails yesterday. I appreciate them. Actually, giving me thanks for putting together a content show, so I appreciate that. I should have mentioned that in the beginning, and I will definitely give thanks here tomorrow. So I sometimes that's the last thing because I'm focused on really giving content. So I look forward to seeing you in tomorrow's show, where we will talk about what to do about it. Really, what to do now that we've covered all this stuff and we've set the stage for content and. We've got a base understanding. I mean, these just what we've talked about thus far could have been 3 or 4 shows already. But what we'll cover tomorrow is content strategy, planning and modeling, curation and creating action. Hopefully we'll get to the curation and creating action. I have a feeling we're just going to cover the content strategy of planning. What is the purpose of content? And modeling it out. Look, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Once again, have a great day.